Easter, of course, comes around every year. I know you know that. Easter sunrise, Easter breakfast, Easter baskets, Easter outfits, Easter worship, Easter hymns, Easter egg hunts, Easter dinner. Easter comes around every year, and so these Easter things come around too. But for me, part of what I mean when I say that Easter comes around every year is that an expectation of preaching a worthwhile, fresh, relevant Easter sermon comes around every year. And by saying that, I don't mean to say that every Easter I feel the need to create a sermon so new, so cutting edge that everybody startles in surprise, but I would like to think that come Easter morning, I have something to share that shows that I am tuned in to the Spirit that makes all things new, that I'm gaining new insights year by year, and that maybe with God's help, I can offer a new take on the good but old news of the empty tomb. But then Easter comes around again, and I wonder whether I've made any progress at all in advancing in my understandings, in my spiritual maturity and awareness. That is there actually anything new and freshly relevant that I can see this time around and therefore say this time around, or will I just end up revisiting the same struggles, the same questions, the same mixed emotions? Because here's the thing. Every time Easter comes around again, I am well aware that I want to feel joy on Easter morning. But I'm also aware that more often than not, I can't quite seem to get around the corner. Like Mary in the gospel text for today, I find that when Easter morning comes, more often than not, I am still a little stuck with leftover Good Friday feelings. That is, although I know the story of Easter morning, I know that resurrection is the story, it is not uncommon that I come to the tomb with some tears in my eyes rather than full and fresh feelings of joy and newness. And that's not because I don't want to believe that life has overcome death, but because I find that over and over again, I am acutely aware that one day does not, for me at least, erase all the sadness and struggles that have led up to this day. So Easter comes around every year, and there are still plenty of times when I can't get all the way around that corner. I suppose it's fair to say that even though, unlike the actual characters in the Easter story, I know what's expected on Easter morning, that it, even so, I identify most closely with the way John's gospel presents Mary, in that the turn from my tears is not always easy or immediate. And so, fair warning, if I am supposed to leave, or even more so, if I'm required to leave all the weeping at the gates of the cemetery and come up to the tomb with a skip in my step, then maybe I'm not the one to deliver the brightly colored Easter goods. Because even after all these years of preaching Easter sermons, I'm still more often than not bringing some leftover tears to the task. That seems not to have changed over the years. For example, this is part of what I wrote in an Easter sermon in 2015, almost 9 years ago, as I was finishing a book I had written on grief. And even though all that time has passed, I have to say that I find these thoughts and feelings that I'm about to share just as true today as they were then. Time passes, and in other ways it seems not to pass at all. This is what I wrote then. I miss my parents more now than I did a year or two after they died in 2008 and 2009, respectively. I hold my breath through every March, the anniversary month of their deaths. I feel more shadowed by their deaths than held by the spirit of their lives. It seems that even now death is not swallowed up, to use the language of Isaiah, but it is swallowing me up, one loss at a time. My grief changes, but it does not end. Make no mistake, I want to walk in the direction of Easter resurrection. I'm willing to tie myself to Isaiah's promise of death swallowed up forever, tears wiped away from all our faces. But resurrection is a hard sell for me, experientially and emotionally. I believe it, but I'm just not so sure I feel it. Maybe I'm not mature enough in my faith, or maybe I just think too much. The older I get, the more I am aware that there are no do-overs, no restarts, no going back. Something begins, lives for a while, and it ends. I don't mean to rain on the Easter parade. It's just that I need the parade to be real. And my reality has more death in it than resurrection. More tears that don't get wiped away than tears that do. So for me anyway, a relevant question for this day is this. How does the promise of resurrection live in us when the shadow of death is still so deep and chilling? I identify with Mary, a realist who showed up at the cemetery expecting a corpse. When it wasn't there, her first thought wasn't resurrection. It was theft or someone's cruel joke. Not a miracle must have happened, but all right, who's taken the body? And then tears spring to her eyes because a body is gone, yes and no. Finding the tomb empty is what triggers her crying, but she also weeps because it's the final straw. She knows the whole sad story, the betrayal of Jesus by one of his disciples and abandonment by all the rest of the disciples. She's witnessed the scourging, the mocking, the agony, the death. It's all been too much. But she's also crying because death has taken this beloved person from her. The touch, the warmth, the words, and robbed her of the future she imagined and expected and hoped for. And we experience that kind of profound loss. So, of course, we weep. But then the gospel story takes a surprising, confusing, and ultimately wondrous turn. Outside the tomb, Mary encounters Jesus, who has come back from the dead. It's not like time traveling back to what was. He's Jesus, yes, but it isn't a rewind. It's this weird and brilliant and startling leap forward. Is this what she wants? I'm not sure. Yet she does not turn away from this new Jesus, this now Christ. She reaches for him and says, "Teacher." In this story, in this moment, death becomes a passageway to something new. It's no longer a thief. It's a doorway. I suppose that part of my problem with Easter morning joy is that I still carry a lot of pre-Easter baggage around with me. And by baggage, I mean I keep carrying a load of expectations and anticipation. I live too much in the, I thought it was going to turn out this way. I stake my satisfaction on what I expected. And expectations get shattered and even stolen all the time, don't they? Who in Jesus' closest circle expected the cross? Jesus expected it, we know that, but who else did? They didn't want him to die, so they pushed that possibility to the side. They expected he would keep on going, that the ministry would keep on going, that challenging the status quo would keep on going, that being together would keep on going. And it did, until it didn't. And suddenly they were on a roller coaster. And as one of my friends who is going through a hard time right now says, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster, and it's not the fun kind. And she's not the only one in my circle of concern and care whose expectations are taking a beating these days. I have another close friend who has a recent and really scary medical diagnosis, and another who's in a personal relationship crisis, and another whose spouse died not too long ago, and every time he starts talking about it, he almost can't talk at all. We, you and I, have church family who are in the midst of health crises, who are grieving, whose lives have taken turns they weren't expecting, who feel very much alone right now. who I know are just barely holding it together. Let's be honest about it. I find that sometimes I have to be really careful when and where to ask someone, "Are you okay?" Because I know full well that just the smallest portion of awareness and understanding might unleash the tears. And people don't want to be that vulnerable, especially in public places or in front of other people. I have to find the right moment and the right way to ask, because I know full well that there are some people who, if they would start crying, fear they would be unable to stop. And it's Easter. Who cries on Easter? Mary does. Sometimes I do. Maybe you do as well. Because life and death are all mixed up. Joy and suffering so often hold hands. Laughter and tears follow each other around, even circle around each other. When we feel things deeply, the deepest emotions are expressed, all of them. But that's okay. It's all in the same basket. We don't have to try to dump out the stuff that seems like it shouldn't be in the basket of joy and celebration just because we imagine we might ruin the party. No, of course not. You don't cry if you don't care. Mary cared. We care. You don't cry if you don't care, and you don't get to the open spaces of life unless you move through struggle and suffering and disappointment, and even death. I like the way that Jesus is gentle with Mary there at the tomb. He doesn't say, "Stop your crying." He asks a question, "Why are you weeping?" And I think it's an honest question. "Mary, tell me what you're feeling. Why are you weeping?" Not, "You shouldn't be weeping, but why are you weeping?" She tells him. She tells him what she's lost, and she tells him what she wants, and she tells him what she needs. It's stuff she hasn't let go of yet, stuff she's carrying around with her even as she tries to keep moving. Probably she says the words through tears. And then after Jesus hears where she is stuck, he speaks again. He says her name, Mary. And suddenly, she hears his voice, and she recognizes his face. And maybe then the tears can stop, or maybe the tears just turn from tears of sadness to tears of relief or tears of joy. Maybe she keeps crying, even though she knows that Jesus is there. Maybe it's through those tears that she sees him. But she also knows that he sees her. And there has to be relief and comfort in that. And in the deep well of emotions, there is a shift, perhaps, a lift of hope, of life. For in the same basket, the same Easter basket, are death and then life, tears and then assurance, loss and then reunion. It all sits together. Deep feelings all sit together. One does not erase the other. But here's the question. Can we keep moving? Can we come around the corner from what won't happen now to what will? And can we see what has happened, as hard as it may be, as a passageway to something new? No longer as a theft, but as a doorway. Hymn text writer Brian Wren has more than a dozen hymns in our Blue Brethren hymnal. When love is found, I come with joy to meet the Lord. This is the day of new beginnings. And the words to the opening hymn that we sang this morning, Christ is alive, let Christians sing, are ones that I know best. But there are also several of his hymns that I've never sung, including one titled When Grief is Raw. It's in the funeral section of the hymnal, but I wonder what it might be like to sing it some Easter. The words go like this. When grief is raw and music goes unheard and thought is numb, we have no polished phrases to recite. You are our Lord. In faith, we grasp familiar words. I am the resurrection. I am life. When time gives room for gratitude and tears, Lord, make us free to grieve, remember, honor, and delight. Let love be strong to bear regrets and banish fears. I am the resurrection. I am life. The height and breadth of all that love prepares soar out of time beyond our speculation and our sight. The cross remains to ground the promise that it bears. I am the resurrection. I am life. All shall be judged, the greatest and the least, and all be loved, till every hurt is healed, all wrong set right. Sing and be glad. The Lamb prepares his wedding feast, and in the midst of death, we are in life. I like the second verse the best. When time gives room for gratitude and tears, Lord, make us free to grieve, remember, honor, and delight. Let love be strong to bear regrets and banish fears. I am the resurrection. I am life. In those words, there is movement to grieve, remember, honor, and delight. A movement that tracks with us when we come to the tomb and find it empty. Let love be strong to bear regrets and banish fear. How is this possible? I believe it is possible because the one who meets us there is the resurrection, is life. So here's some good news. It's okay to feel all your feelings today. Tears of sadness and tears of joy. Christ meets you in the midst of every part of life. Christ meets you with life. Amen. We pause for a few moments of silent reflection, a time to reflect and pray with gratitude for the ways in which the Spirit of God is renewing and resurrecting our lives.